Hello, this is a...
Hello! You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me. And that's the town where I come from. In Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 69 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast, proudly sponsored by our friends at GPM Group. As ever, I'm joined by Matt.
Hello.
And Matt, we've got a few more guests than usual.
Well, we do, and it's a second podcast in a row for Cookie, so I think that deserves a round of applause, you know. Considering he's only been in a couple of days.
thank you for having me back.
We're joined by Ammo as well, Mark Hammond, welcome.
Thank you for the round of applause.
Neil Smith's with us as well.
Good afternoon.
And James Tanner.
Afternoon, everyone.
So there's a fair few of us, aren't there, today?
Oh, right, yeah, sorry.
There we go.
why are we doing this?
It's been a bit of an eventful day so far. I mean, what are we now? We are just before 1 o'clock, and obviously we were scheduled to play Chorley today in the National League. However, at about 10:45 this morning, that all turned on its head. I received a phone call from Graham, the Chorley secretary, to inform me that one of the Chorley players had been showing symptoms of coronavirus on the coach on the way down, and that obviously they had found the nearest possible place to get off the coach, which was Birmingham, and that obviously the rest of the team were not keen to get back on for understandable reasons. They'd all come into contact with him as well. And obviously then after a lengthy process, Jeff, which heavily involved yourself as well, we each consulted with the referees, the league and Chorley as well. And the eventual upshot of that is that the game is off.
And we're now sat around the table in the venue.
How's it come to this?
to hopefully record one of the better podcasts out of our 69, if we're honest. Where are we going to actually start?
I think it's come to this, so obviously none of us have to go home and do household chores and stuff like that, really.
Oh, yeah, sorry, for our partners that are asking, the game's still going ahead, is that
yes,
not bad?
Yes,
that's
yes,
not
yeah.
bad
we're on
usual.
Lockdown, we're discussing,
it's not to
exercise.
Yeah.
Discussing the formation at the same time.
Obviously, really strange build-up to this fixture and the EFL and FA announcing, obviously, the games have been postponed, and I think probably for everyone around the table, we probably thought it was going to be the same for the National League.
Yeah, when obviously, you're sitting there yesterday afternoon and games are being cancelled in the Premier League and the league. You expect our one to be called off then. But then to get the OK, to quote, it's 100% on from the National League. You know, you prepare the best you can to make sure that your boys are ready for the game. And then, obviously, at 11 o'clock this morning, you get the call saying it's off because one of their players has, you know, got the symptoms. And you hope everything is OK with him. But you hope he becomes well and the game get cancelled and we've got to now discuss what we're going to do, not just for today, but for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and obviously all our well wishes are with Chorley and obviously those that are affected, etc. I think it just seems like everything this season, you talk about events that have happened, it's just always been something, man. It's always been something this year, whether it's been players in and out, you know, we've had our fair share, we've had retirements, we've had bans, we've had all sorts, you know. And it's another little chapter in a book just for this season, let alone what hopefully we're going to come on to later and talk about last decade and the fun and stories we've had. But it's just been an incredible season so far.
Yeah, it has. And I mean, in the funniest possible way, you now look back at the events that we've suffered, if you like, this season. And it almost seems like they were... No one would have expected this, by the way. But it almost seems like they were foreshadowing what's happened in the sense that it has just been so crazy for us as a club, and now obviously this is involving every club in the country and a lot of other clubs in the world, but for us to be through what we've been through this season is absolutely incredible. And now this, like I say, no one would have forecasted this. Is absolutely crazy.
I think for Hammo and Smudge yourselves, we were talking beforehand about, again, just bizarre events that happen in the season, but also about the players and the sort of good and bad stories already in the season so far. And, you know, almost we're talking about the success of Doughty, Rico, players like that, you know, it feels like another season ago almost. So, you know, it's been such an up and down.
I think it was this time last year, you know, myself, Hammo, Dunny sat around the table and we're discussing players that we'd like to get at the club. And, you know, you sort of we're safe, everything else. And you're sort of looking at the players like Cheeky and they, you know, how would they be around the club? And, you know, Mark Antony, George Porter staying on again, you know, giving that bit of, you know, the changing room, a little bit of a character. And you start the season, the optimism was there, everything was going right. And then all of a sudden you lose, you know, your centre forward in George Porter due to the gambling or historic. And by the way, I mean minor gambling with 50p bets on about 8 different games, you know.
It's crazy. You've seen recent sanctions going around for other things. And yeah. There doesn't seem to be any kind of balance across
the
board.
No, and for the whole season. And that was sort of a big hit. You bring in a goalkeeper of Mark Cousins' experience and quality, and then all of a sudden you lose him for 3 months in a game where, you know, we were doing really well. And as you say, Alfie Doughty flying, and then you lose, literally, within a couple of games, you lose Mark Cousins, you lose Mark Antony, McCoy, retirement, obviously Cousins for 3 or 4 months, and you're sorting that out after you're trying to sort a forward out as well. You bring in a loan signing like Alfie Doughty, has, you know, absolutely loving being here, didn't want to go back to Charlton at the time. He's now playing in the Championship and doing really, really well. You know, you bring in Romani as well, who, again, nobody really heard of. You know, we'd looked him up and thought, you know, let's get him in. That did extremely well, brilliantly. He's now top of the league with Swindon. So, you know, as a season, there were so many good things, and then it all sort of, everything that could hit a club, I don't think any other club in our division has had to go through what we've had to do. And then, you know, even the Bushy one, where on the Thursday we're setting up a team to go and play a game, and you find out last minute
that he's been sent off on a Thursday after a Tuesday game, and
he's now suspended. And, you know, not on the game so you can work it out all week. It's literally on, you know, the day before the game. So I don't think any other club's had to go through what we've had to go through. And this just, you know, this just really tops it all. You know, again, we have a good result on telly. We've got everybody fit. We've got everyone flying, everyone ready to go. You're playing Chorley at home. Support has been immense all season. And it gets called off. And as I say, you know, for all the reasons of this virus that's going around, it's, you know, it's unprecedented in every way, shape or form. And, you know, just hope everybody's looking after themselves and doing the right things to prevent coming down with it. But as a football manager and as a season, I don't think anybody's had to go through what we've had to go through at this club.
It really is quite incredible. And to touch on some of the positive points in there, though, you talk about Romani, Rico, Doughty, Hammo. It's not just been this season, has it? You know, you guys have been able to bring in, make the most of the loan market, bring in players, and then, you know, we've been unlucky, I guess, to lose them again, but also fortunate enough to see them go on and achieve what they've achieved. And, you know, again, there's been other examples in previous years, and I think for yourself as a management team, you must be obviously incredibly proud of that.
Absolutely. It is a platform for younger players to come and learn, you know, their trade. But we'll always be presented with the situation where if they do well, then their parent club, you know, they can call them back. And in Alfie's situation and Romani's situation, they were monitored and they were being followed. And because they were doing so well, their parent clubs have called them back.
But, I mean, that must be a positive for yourself. Does that mean you hope that you're getting offered the best of the talent that's out there by those clubs because they're trusting you, you know, the development process that you guys can offer them?
The same situation with Aaron Rowe. Although he didn't have a lot of game time, but even just in that half hour that he played at home and made his home debut, within, you know, Smudge's phone, within 48 hours, they were calling him back. So, again, it is a strong platform for younger players, and Smudge's phone's always, you know, busy, and, you know, the top clubs are trying to now see Bromley Football Club as a platform for the younger players to go and learn their trade and move on.
It's the one thing with loan signings. You have to take the hit, and it only means that they've done well for you, that they've been called back. And I think, you know, in everything that you do, you try and make relationships with these Championship clubs, Premier League clubs, League One, League Two, that they offer you the players now to make them even better than where they are, to then go and play in their first team. So that's a great achievement for a club like Bromley. Rico was the prime example. You know, we had him at the end of last season. Charlton obviously didn't think he was going to go anywhere, or, you know, they're willing to let him go. He come back here because of that relationship we already built up with him. to then go and move on to Portsmouth. And good luck to the guy. You know, the club make a bit of money, but we've had to give our time and our effort to make that player an even better player. So he's improved being at Bromley than he was at Charlton. So, you know, it's great credit to the coaching. It's great credit to the environment that we've produced down this club. And I think a lot of people, when they sort of come here, are really surprised how professional this club is run on and off the field. I think it's a great place to be as a young player. You get given a freedom to go in and show what you can do. There's a discipline to it. It isn't just a free-for-all. There's a discipline. And hopefully our players that are coming through our academy see how lucky they are when they've got players like Alfie Doughty and Rico and Romani that are at this club and putting the effort that they're in, that they're in a good place, because there's a pathway to this club to play for this first team.
I've got to be honest, Matt, I don't think everyone realised just how much a coup it was to sign Rico in that summer when he was released from Charlton. You know, but people know now because of the transfer fee. But I don't think people realise the fact we managed to obtain a sign of him on a contract from Charlton Athletic for his release, I think was an absolute massive achievement for everyone involved, and completely underrated in my view.
Yeah, I think he was. I think we saw glimpses of what he was capable of last year. But as an experienced management team, Neil and co saw the potential that he had. And with the support of the board, release clause. Sorry, it took me a while. That one was put into the contract. And it's really, really paid off. I mean, it took him, 3-4 months in the season to attract that interest from a club the size of Portsmouth. And just the way he was playing, you know, you could see how much potential he's got at the age of, 21, 22, and just how good he could go on to be. And it was a massive coup for us. And I think you're right. I think a lot of people didn't see it at the time, but now it's easy to look back on it and actually see what a coup it was.
He was one that we were speaking to all the way through the summer, and he had league clubs that were interested, but he was still speaking to us. And I remember he was coming in on a Saturday morning, and the agent had sent through, like they do, all these different things that they wanted put into the contract after so many games, la 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 la. And it was just so confusing that in the end, I just picked the phone up to Rico, and Rico, this isn't going to happen. You know what? You know where your agent's going with it. It's complicated, and we want just a simple.
I remember. I couldn't even work out how we're going to word any of
that. It took forever. To which the phone call was then to Rico. Rico, it's not going to happen. You know, your agent's asking too much. To which he went, I'm coming down now. To quote,
I remember,
with his mum.
This was Saturday, Sunday, wasn't it?
And he wants to get it done before he goes away on holiday. He came down. We sat around the table for literally 5 minutes, and it was done. He wanted a sign here as much as we wanted him. And that's the difference when you get a player, and then that player then goes and produces what he does because he's at a club he wants to be at. Not, it's the last resort. Not, oh, there's nothing else out there. He wanted a sign for us as much as we wanted to sign him. And I think that marriage is what you need when you want a player. When you sign a player, you know, we speak to him face to face. You do a bit of talking with the agent, and they'll tell you what he wants and how he is and blah, blah, blah. But the best way you get to know a person and a player is by face-to-face. He wanted a sign here. For him to turn up, you were right, Jeff, it was about 12 o'clock.
It was, yeah, I'm sure it was a Sunday, Saturday.
We were
Saturday,
here,
yeah.
and
we weren't here, honestly, we were getting a phone call. We were like, right, everyone down to the club.
He's on his way, he's coming down, he wants to just sign it. We literally signed it, and it was so simple. Sometimes people in the middle try and complicate it and make it more difficult than what it is. But if the player wants a sign, you're there.
And that speaks volumes about Rico as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And it couldn't happen to a nice kid that he's gone to Portsmouth. You know, for whatever reason, he's not getting in, and he will, because he's a grafter and he's a worker and he believes in his ability. Just needs to be shown some of the things that he needs to learn. He still needs to learn. He's a learning kid, but I think he's at a good club. We stay in contact, and, you know, I wish him all the very best. But that day when you knew you were signing someone who actually wanted to sign for Bromley, but I don't think he does that unless he had come here on loan and seen where this club has grown and what he's trying to do and why we're getting better every year.
And enjoyed his football as well.
Loved it.
He's a top kid. He's a top player. But I believe Rico's not going. He's not going to be the only one. I believe in the summer he's going to be. It's going to be very interesting, and he could be the start of many.
No, fantastic. Obviously, on that note, you guys have got done incredibly well, some early work with regards to those contracts. And we talk about Cousins and Coulson in the last week. You must be absolutely delighted to have that done.
Brilliant. You know, we missed Cousins when he was obviously injured, but his attitude around the place and his attitude towards Ryan has been first class, you know, helping him, giving him advice. And I think Ryan, over the last few months, has just improved under Jim's training, his ability and everything else. But Mark's been a major factor in that. And for us to sign him again for next year was something that we wanted to put in place as early as we can, because other people would be interested in him. Likewise, Coulson, you know, the last few games, obviously the one on telly as well, getting man of the match, he's had a lot of interest. Again, he wants to sign for this club. It's an easy conversation to have with a player who wants to stay at this club, and he's loved every minute of it. I think you've only got to see him around the place. He doesn't just want to sign here and be a player.
Yeah.
He wants to help with the coaching, you know, and that was part of it. You know, can we, you know, as a role model for this club, as a mentor for these young players, academy boys that are coming through, you're not going to get any better than Coulson at the moment. And I think, you know, Hamo's done amazing to try and fit him in and help with the coaching as well. Obviously, he's my first team player, and that comes at the top of the list of what I want him to do. But how good of a kid that wants to come in, do the training, wants to play with the first team, but can I help with the coaching as well? You know, and I think once you're at this club, once you come through the door and you see where this club wants to go, you know, you've only got to see the plans the chairman's put together about the, you know, the rebuild and everything else, the infrastructure at this club. It makes people excited about being here. We've got big conversations. I want to sign the players that I want to sign at this club first and foremost. And then I'll be obviously speaking once the season is ended, whenever that is, about new ones coming in.
It's a very, very cliche line, etc. It gets chucked out a lot about it being more than just a football club. But generally down here, Mark, you know, the players, you know, I've had the pleasure of being 10, 12 years, and we've seen us from part-time training two nights a week to daytime, nighttime, and then now those four mornings a week, you know, and that involvement. But the club's grown at the same time as the first team. So everything behind it, you know, the fact that the players are able to go and further their coaching career by being involved with the academy, and the academy players are being able to have that experience of a senior professional amongst them. It really is quite... I don't really know how to fully comprehend what has happened down here in this last decade. And it's just amazing to see and be a part of.
It's a brilliant place. Brilliant place. The environment, especially for everybody. So, you know, like, especially for Coulson. I know I'll probably wear some flack and banter over what I'm about to say, but he's done so well in the past 18 months, but he's not just consistent on the pitch, he's consistent off it, and obviously that goes hand in hand with his performances. But he's first in, he's always, you know, over the gym. He's embedded himself within the club, and that's down to his personality, you know, and all the younger players look up to him. You see so many, you know, smaller shirts now with Coulson on their back. So that's growing, and you know, it's infectious
throughout
the club.
This is actually necessarily an unprofessional example, but to give you an example, the youth academy games are off this afternoon. I'm just looking out over the pitch, and we've got two youth academy coaches out on the pitch, along with two of our media students, playing a game of five-a-side, I think, on the stadium pitch.
But not celebrating by cuddling each other, so that's all right.
No contact. And keeping distance between each other.
And by the way, Coulson's not one of those.
but no, genuinely, I'm sure it gets seen from the outside. I really hope it does. And I hope things like this sort of podcast help try and just highlight that side of the football club and what goes on, because it is so much more than just those Saturdays and those training sessions, everything else that goes on.
I'll give you an example. Yesterday, he's still coaching one of our A-level squads. So on a Thursday afternoon, unbeknown to me, I walked down, you know, just to put my head down the academy office, and Coulson's outside talking to other staff members, liaising with Sue, what pitch am I on? He had his session plan done, he was organised. But I see all the kids going over the back, and you know, and they're being coached by one of the first team players. So, you know, what an experience for those 16 to 17-year-olds that they're now getting, you know, a first team player coach them.
I'll tell you where this club, in my eyes, is going. It's going back to how it used to be back in the day. the youth team players get to talk and train with the first team players. I think so many Premier League clubs now are the Premier players are over one side of the pitch and right over the other where they can't see them are your academy boys. Your
quite
future,
often in different
your,
locations.
Your future yeah. players. And that's one thing that with Hamo, Millsy, Brownie, they all train within around the first team players. So they all know the first team players. The players all know the young kids that are coming through. They appreciate the young kids that are coming through. They appreciate the effort that they're putting in. And then when they come and train with us, our first team respect them. So it's not a shock. They welcome them in because all those players are part of my squad and they're the future of this club. And I think the environment that they've got here is a learning environment. If you want to come here and learn, the players will give them all the experience they can and help them along the way, as well as the coaches. And I think what we have got here are unbelievable coaches. Their enthusiasm to teach, their enthusiasm to coach, not just on the pitch but off it. You know, hopefully giving them good habits that they can take home and be good people once they leave this club. Whether they're signing for us or they go to somewhere else, they go there with the good habits and the good manners of being a Bromley player. And I think that's what we're trying to establish at this club.
Time.
Yeah, and over time we've got there. You know, when I first come into this club, I was footballing in the community. I was handing flyers out at school gates.
I was going to say, so just because we're talking about the journey that the club's been on and stuff, I think it'd be quite interesting, maybe for the listeners who may not know the journey of the individuals around this table. Obviously, how you got involved with the club and how that's all started. And Smudge, I'm sure most people are aware of yours, but do you want to kick us off, obviously, where your journey began with us?
Well, I come and played a few games or was involved as a player under Bobby and Simon Osborne back in the day. Didn't play many games. When we were really struggling, everything else, went on a coach, then come back, obviously with Marking, I think it was 2011. Again, a team that was struggling in Conference South, you know, Tuesday and Thursday nights, but to also earn a living, I was doing football in the community with Del Parnham, going around schools, doing PE lessons, doing assemblies, doing after schools club, then taking the first team.
Yeah, I mean, literally at that point, I think it was a case of there was no budget for a management team. You know, Mark managed that. There was no budget for a management team. Whatever penny we had went on players anyway.
I wasn't, basically, so you weren't getting paid to be a coach. You were getting paid to do the football in the community.
That's just how it was,
not a problem. Let's do it. As I say, it was a local club. Loved Mark. You know, Jerry obviously was the chairman and the club was nowhere near where it was now. Did that for a few years. As I say, then the academy started. You know, we took over the academy and I think we had 30 kids at the time. We were training around Streatham, Sydenham, wherever we could find a training facility because we didn't obviously have the pitch. And then got in touch with Mark. And Mark was a really... I don't call him Mark.
Sorry, Hamo, yeah.
Yeah. Hamo was a strange meeting because Del Parnham introduced us. I think he was working at Sedge Hill. If I'm right, with Millsy at the time, and it was just a chance meeting. Come with us, Smudge. We're going to go up to Sedge Hill. We're just going to meet this lad, Mark Hammond. What a player he was at Bromley. And I think the only person who remembers him is Brian. And I don't know whether that's a big plus, but Brian actually said he was the best winger this club has ever had.
Blimey.
Yeah.
Go on, now finish it off.
to quote him, putting the best balls into the box, unfortunately there was never anyone there. He was probably ahead of his time or just very slow.
Or the ball.
So that was a chance meeting and for whatever reason, and I look back now and it's the best meeting ever because I didn't bring him, but I suggested that we bring Mark into the club to help make better our academy and to be around the first team. Very, very good coach. Also had the key to the training facilities of Ravenswood. So
it was that helped, didn't it?
didn't have to pay for the facilities.
Brilliant.
So that was always, that's why you come in. No, very good coach, very good person. And you've only got to look at the academy now, you know, where we are. Obviously what he'd done at Ravenswood, being national champions in football and rugby, I believe, if I'm not Tom Beaumont, who's on board with us. So they have a way of teaching. They have a way of teaching where players do want to be taught and they learn. And that's what we wanted to bring into this club. So as I said, we had 30 kids when I was doing it. And, you know, no disrespect to them, but they were probably here because they were, you know, no one else would take them. And a bit like the Dirty Dozen and stuff like that. But, we did our best with them, with the facilities that we had. Where they are now, a million miles ahead. And then obviously took the manager's job, and it was an easy question to ask Mark to come in as my assistant manager. And he's been brilliant. And there are times when it hasn't been going right, and football's like that. There's a lot of downs rather than ups. And when you have a down, you need someone who's strong alongside you, who picks you up. You know, I'll probably have to pick him up more than I think. So, to be quite. But he is. He's always at the end of a phone. Normally to Sue, but when he's finished with Sue, he gets on the phone to me and he'll ask me about the first team. But he's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant, and I couldn't have asked for a better person to be alongside me at the moment. And Dunny's come on board over the last couple of years. And again, it's just where the club's growing.
I think equally that conversation was, or that what you've had, I'd be Dunny.
Yeah, of course,
I remember
yeah.
3 years ago, but Dunny's influence on the club, his career, his professionalism, he's got.
But all of that work to get someone like Dunny as part of your team and be involved in that must have been a lot easier knowing you had that similar conversation with Smudge, and a lot of things
that must have been spoken about happened.
You know,
Smudge, we was looking and we had limited resources, you know, not much budget, so you'd kind of lean on. You know, people you know or connections you've got. So I text Dunny and noticed that he wasn't currently in the starting 11 at Orient. You know, just sort of flirted with him. Dunny, what are you doing? How's it going? And everything.
Like your book.
Love your book.
Because Ammo was at, the story is Ammo was at Millwall with Dunny.
Dunny had 23 years, I had 23 days. So Smart, I text Smudge saying, look, Dunny might be, you know, he's not started, he lives around the corner, he might be available. Smudge went texting. So I text Dunny and went, Dunny, look, you fancy Bromley. So he texts me back, Ammo, you know, leave off, I don't fancy a relegation battle. 6 weeks later, he was in the bar signing.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
But the rest is history.
But again, on where this club wants to go, and I think, that's the thing. The club hasn't stood still. The club isn't going back. It's only moving forward. You've only got to look at the stand. You know, the pitch, when I did play here, and it wasn't very often, probably one or two games, it was a big sandy mark with a dent in the middle of the pitch. You know, games were getting called off because they were waterlogged, and we just kept putting more sand on. And, you know, and you look at the facilities now, and they're better than some of the league. And that's why league clubs are now willing to lend us this. So if you go full circle, because of where we are now, people are willing to lend their players to us because of that story, the story of where we are, you know, the story of where we've got to. We've had to fight for everything. Nothing's been a given. Everything is, you know, well earned, and we will always earn what we've got to achieve. You know, there's not anything's just do it. It's yours. You've got to go and earn it. And
you've seen that even. You talk about the events, you talk about the football club events that have happened, you know, the sort of failed takeover that happened in between all of this, all the success on the pitch and everything that's happened. That's going on in the background as well. But sort of going back to the story.
You need people like Dunny.
To drive
that.
That's the next stage. And my Dunny. You at Leatherhead, you were well known.
AFC
Wimbledon. You were a legend at AFC Wimbledon. I couldn't get any better than that. You then got a legend at Millwall. You upped the grade at the time. I got an AFC Wimbledon legend.
To go back to your story, Hammer, you know, and obviously. Everything that Smudge, you know, whether it was a hard sell or not, but the conversation you guys must have had in terms of trying to bring yourself across, and then I'd like to think you've experienced that, and a lot of what was promised could happen has happened, and you've played a large part in making it happen beyond anything that people thought. You know, the fact that that's happened obviously must make your conversations with a Dunny and people like that a lot easier.
The selling point's easier.
Yeah.
And we just had the academy interviews this week, and every year we are selling the project that's improving and becoming better. So every year we're talking
about...
It's
not even setting, you're just highlighting, this is what's happening.
This is what's happening.
I'll tell you why it's an easier sell, and that's why we're getting the better players, because you believe in what you're selling.
Well, that's become...
We're looking to do this. Yeah. We're looking to do... We've done it. We've proved it. Robin has proved it. Look at that stand. Look at that. Yeah. Look at the stadium where it wants to go. So you're not selling a dream anymore. You're selling fact.
4 years ago, we stood there in front of parents and players, and we were selling the vision. Now we're actually promoting what we've got and where we're going again. We've just had a player go on trial, Paris Jackson. He's 16. Cardiff City have inquired about him. He's just, he trialled last week. That's triggered other interest now. I've had Brighton, Huddersfield. Huddersfield want to take him next week. So again, it's exciting times. And I know we've been here with other players, and we've had players go on trial to Stevenage, Palace, Barnsley. And we haven't quite, sold one yet. But now between myself and the gaffer and Dunny, we're now actually saying, Why not hold on to these players and actually, hopefully fast track them through to the first team? We've got 16-year-old Liam Vincent, who's played in, a few games behind closed doors, but featured in the Dartford friendly.
Unbelievable. And he had a great game. He was unreal that night.
It's all potential.
What you hope is that you can nurture that potential and that you keep their feet on the ground. Mm. They still want to work hard. They haven't made it, but there's a place for them at this club. As I said, I think Robin has said it with myself. What we'd love is 15 Bromley players that have come through the academy, that have come through everything. And that is the dream. That is the dream. But on the same side of it, if one of them's so good that they go into the league...
But Danny Mills has got... He could field an 11 that are all on loan at the moment. It's something that we've... spoke with James in the week, we're going to promote next week, that we've got 11 players out on loan in the lower levels of non-league, so we are now hopefully seeing
our development of our own players.
Absolutely fantastic. I forgot we were trying to go through everyone's individual stories, but Hammo, in terms of rewinding for yourselves, obviously some fans might know, obviously you were a former player of the club.
Mm. Oh, was he? I love Brian.
Can you talk about the return of Mecky? my other son.
But obviously, in terms of your relationship with the club, obviously prior to Neil getting back in contact and the amazing work you've done with the academy. Obviously, what year? Well, I saw a press cut in recently. Was that back in January, wasn't it?
Freeland's
title.
He sends me it every week. Amo, you look like you've got knee clamps on.
But generally, for those people who don't know, your previous involvement with the club as a player?
Yes, it was it was hilarious, really. I had four managers in a season, and they were coming through like a revolving door. I remember it was his second appointment. Stuart McIntyre called me on the Thursday and he said, Cardiff have watched you for two games.
Oh gosh, this is of course during Jerry's reign as chairman.
Jerry was chairman, and back in the day he used to knock on all the other players and he used to go in the bar and he used to get paid in your envelope and you had to stay in the bar until half six. Sometimes, the big boss would make you wait. He used to go and knock on the door. Joe, can I? Is it all right? Just to pick up wages, and he's just to look at you and go, "Do you think you deserve them?" well, I've just lost 4-0.
You can have half. Okay.
So you go, you've done all right, Amos. You can have yours. Brilliant. So I remember leaving, but this envelope, honestly, was like. It was fat. I was thinking, Jesus Christ, I think Jerry has overpaid me. So I've quickly whipped it in my pocket, gone to everybody at the bar, right, I'll see you later, I'm gone.
But oh, there's a
shot. I've been overpaid, but I'm not going to buy him on a trip.
So I've sprinted out. I've got in the car. I put the you know, like the wind mirror light on. I've pulled the visor down and looked in it. So I'm down there, right? So I've pulled this envelope out and I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, Jerry has got it. Brilliant. With that, I've put the envelope there. I'm ringing rung one of my mates who was playing for Maidstone at the time. Right, where are you going? Where's everybody going? Right, Emma, we're meeting in Chislehurst. Right, give me 10 minutes. I'm coming. All of a sudden, I've opened this envelope and I've just pulled out a wad of Scottish fivers. I'm sitting there counting it. And I'm going, I haven't been overpaid. I've been paid Scottish fivers. I can't even do anything with them.
Oh, I bet you weren't having no money again. Was that when it started? I won't go out of any money.
No, it was brilliant.
I'll just tell everyone I got.
No, it was another time Stuart McIntyre came back in. He rang me on the Thursday. He said, look, Cardiff, Kenny Jackett was the manager of Cardiff at the time, and they've watched you for two games, and I think this is going to happen. I don't know, but Smite banters me about Leverhead, but I played against Leverhead.
It's the only one I know you played against.
Star man, everything, and then got the phone call on the Sunday saying, look, it looks like it's going ahead. And I got the phone call on the Monday, and then it was off. And then it later transpired that Jerry put a ridiculous price tag on my head.
No, yeah, don't believe it.
So it didn't happen. And then... Eight years later, I was back working with Jerry.
Brilliant.
So he owes me.
Full circle.
Oh, Scottish Fibers. No, look, I didn't have the career that Dunny and Smudge had, and they had a career, I had a hobby. But I'm in awe of them, and I listen to Smudge's stories about Tony Pulis, Alan Pardew, Kevin Keegan,
Gazza.
Yeah, and yeah, no disrespect, I had Ian Jenkins.
I bet they were funnier.
brilliant times, brilliant stories, brilliant memories.
Fantastic. Cookie, you're with us. For those of you who don't know, obviously, I guess your first game, your history with the club.
Yeah, well, I worked with Hamo at Leverhead.
Where is our ball hitting?
What, 14 years ago now? On the far side, where the away segregation is now. I remember when you used to watch the football in the pre-season, then at half-time you'd pop your head over and watch the cricket, the good old days.
Yeah.
And then from there, really, and I think it was then 7 years after, went Dorchester away with a load of fans, and I think Jeff at one point said, I'll come back
Was that the last game of the season?
No, one of the games that should have been called off. We lost 3-2. And Jeff said, I'll come back on the coach. So
I
went back on the coach.
Very quickly, just on that, because I've got a quick story. Dorchester, one game, it was the last game of the season, can't remember what season, Dorchester away. They had a massive Tesco's next door. So everyone always used to have a load up and all the beers, everything for the way home. And I think they could have got relegated, and we could have relegated them. We were awful. Didn't play at all well or anything like that. And at the end of the game, I think the fans pitch invaded. And our fans, and they had all inflatables, and there was an inflatable paddling pool in their area with one of our fans sitting in it. And in the background, there's a great shot. I think Mark Evans got a photo. In the background, there's just all the Dorchester players and fans on the pitch celebrating that they've stayed up.
We were well with a killer wow, was it?
Oh, it was brilliant.
Can I just stay on Dorchester?
It wasn't. It was gospel.
Gospel.
There's another story about that. What about when we were doing the conga around the...
When half my team was dancing around with Jeff.
They were injured.
We'd already been promoted
We went down to Gosport, didn't we, with the trophy. Obviously won. Was it West City Mayor the previous week?
Yeah.
And by the way, from the outside, everything was fantastic, but off the field, behind the scenes, it was what on earth
was
going
chaos.
On. It was absolute chaos, carnage.
Yeah, so Ashley Reddings come down to that game. So Smudge was doing press or talking again
about Kevin Keegan, Alan Pardew,
Gazza,
Venables,
and then Ashley Redding's coming to the bar. Me and Shims are there, so Ashley's seen me and gone, "Hammo, are you okay?" He said, "How are you getting home?" So I said, "Oh, on the coach." He went, "Listen, I've got one spare seat in my helicopter. Do you want to fly home?" And I went, "No, I can't do that. I can't leave Smudge. You know, I'm going to stay honest and loyal and be a friend. And you know, what I'll do is, Ash, I'm going to travel home with Smudge." All of a sudden, literally, Smudge walks in. He goes, "Smudger, I've got one spare seat left on the helicopter. Do you want to fly home?" He went, "Absolutely. 100%. He went, "I'm off. I'm off. I'm flying home." Literally. He was in Beckenham. Brilliant. 45 minutes later.
I flew home with Glyn Beverley.
Oh, God bless. Yeah. Brilliant.
God bless him.
True story.
Sorry. I didn't know, sorry.
Cookie, we interjected.
I would have got the helicopter if I had it.
Oh, it's good. It's good. So I think, obviously, we was at Dorchester away. Jeff invited me back on the coach, went home. And then I think it transpired that our videographer at that point, Mark, left. And he, Jeff said, did I want to do the filming? So again, done the filming. Part time, I used to go home and away everywhere on a Saturday. It was brilliant. It was like living a dream. We then got promoted to the National League Premier, and it was the end of season awards. And then that night, I think it was just a passing comment. Jeff and Julia and that, they were saying,
"Get out!
What are you doing in here?" And they,
is he still here?
And it was at the point Colin Russell and Iona, they'd stepped down and just made the comment of,
"Get out!"
Thank you. And it was just a passing comment of, "We're going to need sort of like a new
cleaner.
Administration
We're going to need someone who can do six different jobs.
And someone that can take all this banter, apparently. So I literally just said, I said I'd do it.
She rang him. Are you at Leverage still?
Ammo, come over from Leverage. And it was that. So it was then we had a discussion with Jeff, and I went back and with my then wife, and speaking to her about going on about it's a dream job. I get to go home and away, get to work for the football club. 13, 14 years I've fallen in love with. And it literally, the last thing was, I cannot say, I worked in insurance and I dealt with health and safety, risk claims, everything like that. And I literally got to the point where I turned around and my last thing was, I can't say no to this job and then go back to work on Monday, because it will be the biggest regret of my life. 5 years later, I'm sitting here, I'm safe.
The biggest regret of my life.
5 years.
Five years later, my notes have gone in. But 5 years later, look, I'm staying here, manager, safety officer. I'm in a dream job I love. I'll get to work.
We'll put
it
out. Can I just say?
It ruined my marriage. But you know what? There were some.
Can I just say, you've completely missed out the origins of this podcast, which was you and me doing the unofficial.
There was so much, but obviously interrupted about three or four times with different bits. But yeah, that's right. But we went down when Wixie was here, and I had the idea. I used to work in motorsport quite a bit in part time, and we had like a podcast.
Your opportunity
was the first ever podcast to receive FIA Media accreditation when podcasts were just coming out and a thing. I used to go all over Europe reporting on races and stuff with my friend. And,
it's the cookie show now, is it?
So anyway, enough about me. And then come up with this idea with Matt. I met Matt, Maiden Head Away, 2012?
Yeah, yeah.
It was the Swaybird red card that game.
4-2 defeat.
We're nearly getting relegated.
But it kicked off late, didn't it?
Exactly. And we had Dover the week after, and we lost 4-0, so it was a bit of luck that we stayed up. But with it, me and Matt met each other for the first time, and then we got to talk more and know each other over the off-season. Next season, we come out, and we was like, we've got this idea, I want to do a podcast, and we discussed it with Matt, and obviously Matt's very good at talking. And we've done this podcast, didn't we? It was a perfect partnership because I had the experience of doing it, but I can barely string a sentence together. I can barely string a sentence together. So I had this idea, spoke to Matt, presented it to Jeff and Wixie at the time. They said,
still
yeah, go for it.
So
it was the Bromley official podcast, but not by people who were officially employed by the club.
It was official, but not official.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then we done that.
Similar, but different.
Yeah, similar, but different. And it was the official Bromley podcast. Now it's Ravens Weekly. And then, obviously, this is how it then, Phoenix from start of last season, religiously.
Phoenix from the Raven.
Week in, week out. So.
Rising Phoenix.
This is how it's going to end, I think. But,
I'm going to end.
Let's go out on a big one.
I think I'll need seven days isolation from cooking.
Brilliant. You love me.
We might have to be.
It might have to be
two parts of this.
We'll be spinning off that chair in a minute.
Matt, and James, we've got to introduce you guys properly. Matt.
Yeah. So
anyway.
Oh, thanks,
Matt. Alan Wilde, you right?
My first game was a 3-1 defeat to Eastbourne. I remember it really clearly in the 2011-12 season. Despite not getting very many good results, I kept coming back. The place was just infectious. Loved it. Eventually met Wixie. I was the only player sponsor for one season, I think. I sponsored a player. I was the only player.
Who did you sponsor?
Albert Jarrett.
Albert Jarrett. He was the best sub that never played.
And then, got to know a few people behind the scenes, got to know Jeff, etc. And eventually started doing the PA on a match day. Obviously after all the podcast stuff and everything like that, went into my career in teaching. Very fortunately, thanks to Jeff and the board and everyone behind the scenes, an opportunity arose for me to run the community scheme at this fantastic club that I'd fallen in love with.
And be matchday PA announcer.
Yeah, and be matchday PA announcer at the same time, plus several other things.
It is amazing how the world works. In fact, Smudge was one of the first people to instigate what we considered our community scheme back then. It's amazing how all these years later.
And you know, just how much Neil's still involved with it now. We've just gone into a school yesterday. We've had a child come in and sign in at soccer school, and the mum said to me, "You were at St Mark's yesterday, how amazing it was." Brilliant. Neil did an assembly. And we've done, three in the past couple of weeks now?
Today, yeah. Bullerswood School.
Yeah, Bullerswood were meant to come. It's such a shame. Best laid plans in that. But it's really come full circle for me in terms of my expertise and skills that I needed to use in teaching that I've got from my studies and how it actually involved in this job as well. And, you know, as Jeff mentioned, we're all involved in more than one role at this football club. So, but I absolutely love it. And it's been a dream come true for me as well. So a real pleasure.
I love how short and sweet you kept that compared to cookies.
Well, I had to.
He's going on now, isn't he?
Oh, dear. And James Tanner.
I'll check the hand sanitizers.
James Tanner, our newest member. Do you want to give us a brief background?
Is there still time on this podcast?
Yeah. JT.
We're
in overtime now.
I'll keep it fairly short and sweet because I know we've still got some great stuff to cover. Supporter since 2006, when my dad brought me to my first ever game. Volunteer basis, doing match reports in 2012, then took on the match day programme in 2013. Continued doing that right through my time at Ravensbourne School, so just across the road, and also through university as well. And then obviously became great friends with Matt, Jeff, Dave, and
He's not here now. Are you his mate or is he your mate? Who says he's great?
managed to join the club on a full-time basis in July, which was my long-term dream. And that's doing a kit manager and media assistant. So it's the best of both worlds. I still get to work alongside Hammo and Smudge in the first team environment with all the boys. You know, Jack. I remember meeting up with Jack and Coulson at the start of the season and how welcome they made me feel, and I just knew from then on that season was going to be great. I can then couple that with my media duties, which is obviously my passion, and I feel that I've managed to help Jeff and others in the office promote the club the best we can. And
Yeah, it's the dream job, and I'm just so lucky to be here.
As the manager, you are a major part of the team. You're a major part of the team, JT. All the players do love you. The management love you as well, and you're enthusiastic in what you do. And I would say that everybody around this club has had to wash the kit at some stage and hang it out.
That's a very good point.
So we've all done what you're doing, and we all understand what you've had to do. You know, as I say, when I first come in, me and Dale would be hanging kit out on the chairs and the bars, and you know, to dry them up and hanging them up on, you know, hooks in the changing room and stuff like that. So I know Matt's done it. I know Jeff's done it. Ammo probably hasn't.
But it's so much more than that.
He wants his own pants. Now someone else's. But JT, so we understand what you're doing, and that is such an important role. The kit man, and you're more than a kit man.
It is more than that, isn't it?
You're more than a kit man.
You definitely see that amongst the first team.
And they respect you, and it's brilliant to have you. Your enthusiasm on board.
Absolutely brilliant. We're an hour into the podcast and we finally introduce everyone.
well, we've got Cookie out now.
I've sent Cookie down to get a plug socket for the laptop, so hopefully we can enjoy the next bit. Everyone's got such a great history and part of the club. I'm sure we're going to be able to come up with recap on some fantastic stories from the past. And I know Hammo and Smudge have got a few notes down. So I'm probably going to hand over to them now I don't really know where to start from, really. There's tons of notes down there. There's plenty of stories. Some of them have got an X through, which I suggest probably won't come back until they decide to release a book. But in the meantime, we might as well get underway, I'm sure. Where do you guys want to start?
Go on, I'll let Hammo start it, and I might join in with it, but Hammo's a good story.
Let's go back to 3 years ago. So Smudge had just been given the job, and then 6 weeks into it, we got a phone call about a young winger, forward player called Louis Dennis. And Reading were going to take him. And it's, you know, similar to my Cardiff story. Anyway, so Louis Dennis, we got the phone call on a Monday, so then we were looking to arrange an under 23 game against Reading. Reading were bringing a team over, so we'd set it up, but because of the information that we were given, we wasn't really giving Louis much. So we'd started the game, you know, we're 10 minutes in, Louis hasn't touched the ball and hasn't really moved.
I was sitting in the stand, you were sitting on the bench.
Yeah,
so, because I was sitting with the Reading guy
that
was coming to watch Louis. And was obviously bigging him up.
So Reading.
And rightly so.
Smudgy's sitting in the stand next to Reading. I'm on the bench. They've given Smudge a nudge as if to say, like, is that him? Is that really him? And so Smudgy said, yeah. So Smudgy's phoned the bench and said, Ammo, what's happening with Louis? So I said, I don't know. And I also, he said, well, liven him up. So I put the phone down. But Smudge can see me. So I've gone to Louis. Louis, come on. What's happening? So he just put his thumb up at me. All of a sudden, 2 minutes later, Smudge has rung me back. Ammo, what is he doing? He went, I've got Reading Football Club here. They want to buy him. Smudge, I don't know. He went, well, ask him. I said, Louis, are you all right? So Louis turned around and just said, Ammo, man. I can't breathe. I'm still on the phone. Smudge, he went, Ammo, what's he saying? I said, Ammo, apparently he can't breathe. He went, breathe? He went, tell him he can breathe all he wants to up this 90 minutes. Once he signs his deal, we're ready. Get him running. I said, Smudge, he can't run. In the end, Louis, after about 35 minutes, he just turned around to me and went, Ammo, I'm breaking down. I can't breathe.
That's brilliant.
We then had to take him off. We had to take him off, and Louis, by the way, was one of the most... Everyone would know Louis.
I don't realise.
Most gifted player this club would have ever seen.
Honestly, and moments of magic.
With the season we got to the final at Wembley... He got a set.
Oh, Gaita, the goal. The goal here in the first leg.
And that wasn't the only time he scored that type of goal. I just Eastley, left foot, right foot.
Eastley, you know, the Benny Moore and, you know, the performances he put in. He was the most gifted player I've ever seen. And I think he was getting better and better. And it was one of them where his contract was up at the end of the season. He goes for nothing, like he eventually did. Or it was just before that, you know, just try and make money out of someone. Not out of someone. We deserve to get something because we've developed him. He deserves to go on to where he wants to get to because he put so much effort into getting to where he wanted to get to. But, you know, you arrange this game for him, but you don't want to tell him because you don't want to put him under pressure. He then thinks it's just a reserve game. He can't understand why they're playing in this reserve game. He's got the ump. You don't want to tell him, don't have the ump. I've got a championship side that are interested in you. Just go and show what you can do. To be told, sitting 100 yards the other side of the pitch, that he can't breathe because his chest is hurting. And I've got the Reading guy sitting next to me going, what's he saying? He's feeling a little bit unwell at the moment. All you wanted him to do was just show a spark of what he can do. And I think that's Louis in a nutshell. Louis could win a game on his own. I don't think he realised how good he was at the time. He was at his best. You know, again, we played him in a position he loved. Everyone played him out on the wing. We made him a number 10 just so he could get on the ball more. And the story that Amo says is basically him in a nutshell. He had all the talent in the world. But, you know, and I hope he does get his chance at Leighton Orient. You know, he isn't at the moment. And you hope he gets his chance, but...
I'm sure the fans are screaming out.
One of the most gifted players.
I'm sure the fans have been screaming out and probably asked questions numerous times. But you guys obviously keep in contact with him.
We speak to him and he phones me up for advice. My advice is always come home. You know, he's at a league club, he's at League Two, you know, he was at Portsmouth and stuff like that. But it's one of them where I would never want a player with that ability to sit at home regretting that he didn't get the chance to show it all. And I think the last two seasons has proved he hasn't. That should be on display every week. And I think he'd get more enjoyment doing it every week, no matter what league he was in. So, you know, that's always going to be Louis' decision and I'll always stick by it. But, you know, like we said, we've always got an open ear for someone like Louis Dennis.
I think somebody who's of equal ability and talent is Corey Whiteley. And I think we're going to see the best is yet to come from Corey Whiteley. He's it.
Honestly, watch him in training and everything. I mean, absolutely sensational. And just being a fan, obviously, but he came on at Barrow.
Yeah.
And you talk about moments that could define or could kickstart or something. And look, that's long gone and you're seeing what he's capable of.
No.
But that one game, when he came on, and honestly, we're behind the goal, TV, all of that. When the ball come through, I was like, he's going to score with his first touch for the football club.
You watch him in finishing, you watch him in training. And
you know what, it just would have been deserved.
Absolutely.
He's been absolutely fantastic.
I said it the other day, and you know, he epitomised my team last week against Harrogate. His work ethic, and this is what we're saying about loan players. Loan players can come to your club from the league and think they're too good. They shouldn't be there. I'm too good for this. He loves being here. He loves being around the players. And you can see that enthusiasm. And that's what I'm saying. When you speak to players, you get a feel, and I get a feel that he loves being where he is at this moment in time. But we also give him a license to go and enjoy his football. I love people that enjoy working hard, and there's not a harder worker at this club at this moment in time than Corey.
Exactly. I think a lot of people tend to sort of forget the human sometimes behind the player, and you forget that he's... Well, he's been Newport County, hasn't been out of player, been out of favour, living away from home.
God bless him, he's had two births and he's got four children. You know, he's got two sets of twins.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he's got two sets of twins, so he's got his work cut out, but he's a family man. He wants to be at home with his family like anybody does. He's away at Newport County, you know, not having the greatest of times. We brought him home and I think you just see that willingness to thank us for giving him that opportunity. And you know, don't know what's going to happen for the rest of the season, but we hope we see his talent here a lot more.
Absolutely brilliant. We're slowly moving down your list because it's quite a lengthy list. What's next on the
Well, this is now he's back, Cookie. This is all about Cookie.
Say,
Cookie.
No, I go down the Lincoln.
Cookie's
yeah.
brought. Cookie's brought. Refreshment.
Cookie explained that he come in here. You know, followed all
everyone's
the,
done the key.
All the,
yeah,
all
yeah.
the cars and stuff like that. You know, he was a racing driver. And, so brave in a car. Third gear, fourth gear. He's now our kit man. He's now our kit man. We've all had the experience.
Let me tell my story. When it started off, it was me and Jeff, I think, in the office. In the office, you had someone running the events team, which was at the time Nicola, and then me and Jeff. Matt would pop his head in occasionally, seeing if anything needed up. And it was that. So obviously, Jeff just don't have one job. I didn't just have one job. So you go out, you do.
But just
media,
to clarify,
you
that one like job was doing the kit.
So
yeah,
there was a job doing the kit. And it was on my own, and obviously I'll admit right now, the best kit man we've ever had, sitting opposite me now, James Tanner, the most organised person in the world. He's brilliant. You go near him at 4 o'clock on a Friday, you don't. He's in match day mode, getting everything sorted.
You on the other hand.
me on the other
you
hand.
You come in me at 4 o'clock.
me.
I'm sitting down somewhere doing absolutely nothing.
I'm going off to fix the boiler again. I'm going off.
No. You leave her out of it.
Oh, at 4 o'clock on a Friday, you're
going to
find me
in the car
James. I'm sitting there watching James.
Supervising James. No, but I'm losing my trail of thought doing this. Bloody hell. So obviously you used to do a kit, and it's nothing like it is now. Nothing. James has got so much.
It should have been.
No, it does. You got player tip bibs. You got everything. Us used to be shirt, shorts, socks.
That was easy.
Ball, roll it up.
Football. It was easier, wasn't it?
And
it was
easier.
So in fact, you had a harder
Lincoln
job. Yours was easier, wasn't it? It was easier because all you had to worry about was shirt, shorts, socks, balls, and about. Well,
no,
10 balls.
The speaker.
Because I used to pack the balls in the day before.
Speaker.
So the balls,
cones, bibs.
Cones, bibs, and.
Oh, and
yeah,
the warm up stuff.
And
the warm up stuff.
And a speaker. But basically.
And the warm up stuff.
You see,
right,
it was easier then.
Let's do Lincoln.
So we're going to Lincoln.
So we're flying. We're flying. Right, we've had a string of good results. The squad we're taking up, you know, we've got Ben Chorley, Blair Turgot, Lee Minchell, Louis
Unbelievable
Dennis.
Team.
We are flying. And we're going to Lincoln. And the Cowleys are the managers. We turn up. We're up. We get off the coach.
Massive club.
Massive, huge club. Huge game. So we're coming off the coach. All of a sudden, going through. All of a sudden, you're doing your checks off the coach.
Players.
They're there.
Staff. They're there.
Chairman.
Oh. Yep. He's
general
there.
Manager. Everybody's there. And all of a sudden, we know.
Let's go down the kit road.
Let's go at kit. So. Gaffer.
Shirts are hanging up.
Smudge. I can't see a bag of balls. What do you mean? I don't think the balls are there. I'll look again. And I'll go and check. So go in there, all of a sudden, nothing. Walk in. Cookie, who's...
I haven't got to interrupt. What I want to say, this was Lincoln when they was... doing amazing, and this was like 9,000 games.
There was 9,000
games, and there were people lined up on a red carpet either side asking for autographs.
This wasn't the Shims one as well. Should we bring the Shims?
Oh, that's another one.
Go on.
So, Cookie, have you seen the balls? No, I haven't seen them. Well, you was meant to pack them. Well, I thought I did pack them. We rang Bromley Football Club. I think we rang Jackie. So we rang Jackie. Jackie, you couldn't go to do us a favour, could you? Yep, no problem. Check if there's a bag of footballs in the kit room. Yep, no worries. She stayed on the phone. She went into the kit room and went, yeah, they're here, love. Brilliant.
Now we've got to
delete it.
Oh, delete it.
Anyway,
just, so, just to go back, am I just
No. Listen,
he's really angry.
I do apologise for the use of language.
Oh, this is the 18 plus century.
Yeah, sorry.
Brilliant. So then we turn around and go, Gaffer. They're at home. They're at home. What? This ain't good enough. I've got an idea. I'm going to speak to Cowley and just say they've been stolen on the train while we're connecting coaches and we'll borrow some balls so that we save reputation and that we don't look like a bunch of idiots. No worries. So I've said to Cookie, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to speak to Cowley. I'm going to ask to borrow some balls. No worries. All of a sudden, within that time frame, 15 minutes, I'll knock on Cowley's office. Dan, what's happening? Yeah, all good. Exchanging pleasantries and, you know, stories. Listen, can you do us a huge favour? We've had an incident on a train. Somebody has stolen our league match balls. You know what it's like. A couple of, you know, supporters drunk. They've just stolen our balls. What? Am I? That's unbelievable. Who would do that? Exactly, I know. Who would steal 10 footballs for
terrible.
A game? Ammo, no problem. Listen, I'll go and get you some. So he's given us 10 footballs. Brilliant. I go out to set the warm up, trying to also hide it from the players so that it, you know, any information like that can affect the preparation, the mindset, or, you know.
So important being a kit man.
So important.
Don't forget.
Within that time
frame.
Difficult
with six other jobs.
I walk back after setting up. I walk back down the tunnel. Cowley's standing there. He goes, "Oi, you little." I went, "What?" He went, "You told me you had your ball stolen." I said, "Yeah, I did, off the train." He went, "Nah, that geezer in the glasses just told me he left them and forgot them." Wait, Cookie.
Honesty's the best policy.
He's showing you how bad I am.
Can I interject and just ask Matt to also share?
That wasn't the worst.
No, this is brilliant.
A quote. During that time of event,
Ben Chorley,
including one of our players, who summarised the events perfectly.
Oh. You're doing well.
Ben Chorley was, we lost the game 1-0. We actually played really well. We hit the crossbar, all sorts of things. And Ross Flitney saved the penalty, didn't he, as well?
Yeah. Ross Flitney.
We were sort of, me and you stood all sort of a bit dejected.
That's when we were doing commentary, another job.
Our fault. Fans abusing
that's
us all the way. Long way back to South London and all that. And we went in the tunnel and Ben Chorley stood there. He's leant against, obviously he wasn't in the squad that day. I can't remember. He might have been injured, suspended, whatever. And he was stood with a tennis ball in his hand. He was bouncing it against the wall, leaning with a chewing gum in his mouth. "Oi, Cookie," he said. "It's like turning up to a tennis match without a racket." <That's
infected. laughs> Oh, yeah. And then just to go for that, he then quoted professionalism.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, go on. Then what?
Oh, no, go on, no.
No,
back
yourself!
No.
Because the other Lincoln story...
Go on.
The other one was, obviously, we had the goalkeeping coach, Glyn Schimmel. So Shims has said, "Look, do you mind, after the game, I need to shoot off.
Oh.
I need to shoot off because I've got a... I don't know, family do or something like that." I went, "Yeah, not a problem, Shims." Straight afterwards, you get off. And this was when we were doing really well. We were winning.
We beat 1-0. Do you know what? Yeah. I think, please, whoever the stat man is, double check. I think Chris Bush was involved.
He was. And that was when he was
in that
doing,
game.
He was doing the long throws from his
That's
own
it.
Half.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Me and Cookie were doing commentary that day, and we went, "He's got a throw on him." And
Chris
to say
Bush,
now we
Chris
used
Bush
that quite a lot. It's
playing
amazing.
In that game.
So we're playing the game, and we're winning. We're winning 1-0. It got to the last 10 minutes.
It was 83rd minute.
And I can see, just to the corner of me, Shims was sitting outside the sort of dugout. And he's a bit restless, and you just see him looking around. And all of a sudden, 83rd minute, as am I right, he turned around and went, "Smudge." I went, "Yeah, go on." "What?" He went, "Do you think I can shoot off?" I went, "Shoot off? What do you mean, shoot off?" He went, "Well, I've got to get the train in 20 minutes. I went, "No, you can't. You sit there and wait until the end of the game." He went, "Oh, no, I've just got to..." "No, you're staying there, Shims." To which, for the next 7 minutes,
He was just wriggling like he wanted to go to the toilet.
He had a straight jacket on.
He was like, honestly, we won 1-0.
That was amazing, that game. Yeah.
He shut up, he ran into the change room and ran off. He was gone. All the boys, he was singing. That was.
Yeah. We thought we'd won the league, by the way.
He had a 21st birthday party. Yeah. His missus was on him to get home.
Oh, brilliant.
7 minutes before the end, do you mind if I shoot off?
Can I get the early train?
No, you can't. You can sit here and wait. I know. I was just asking. You can sit here and wait. So, yeah, Lincoln's not a good place.
Lincoln's not a good place, but also what's not a good place is Tramier with two kit men.
Tramier, who were the kit men that day?
Cookie likes to bring people down. He likes to, you know, the shit.
You lot haven't been on this podcast for the past 40, 50 minutes.
I'd like to interject on this because obviously
that was Liverpool Lime Street, wasn't it?
Unfortunately, it's my fault for getting you all involved in a football club at some stage. Tranmere away. We literally arrive at.
We weren't there, by the way.
That's it. Two things. So first of all, we arrive at Liverpool Lime Street. Get off the train. We're waiting for our coach. Coach should be outside station waiting to take us to Tranmere. You know, Tranmere, size of the ground, everything. Was it our first or second visit there?
Second visit there.
Clement's, you know, his first visit.
Yeah, 100%.
I think it was our third, wasn't it? Because we got the 4-0, the 2-0, and then this was the.
I was at the 2-0.
I'm glad you remember that well. We came out of the station, and we're waiting for this coach. And while you're waiting, you look around, and usually it's usually a bit of a ball ache trying to get all the kit from the train down the thing. I thought, we've got here really quick. This was really easy. All of a sudden, I'm looking around, and I'm going, I can't see a bag of footballs.
It's the footballs, well.
I turn around, and speak to Matt. I'm like, Matt, you've got these footballs. Matt turns around to Ronan. Ronan, you got the footballs? Ronan turns around, starts asking the player. I'm like, oh, we're in trouble.
No, Ronan looked round his feet.
It looked brilliant.
Because I was there and I went, Ronan, where are the balls? And he looked at his feet again. I went, well, they're not there, are they?
So I'm sitting there lifting his shoes up. We're sitting there going,
he's looking in the rubbish bin.
Here we go again.
Pockets.
So we get on the coach. Coach turns up. Brilliant. We're on the coach. We forgot the footballs. Please tell me I haven't forgotten anything else. No problem. Get about 2 minutes from the station, stuck in traffic, turn around the corner. I'm sitting there. I said to Joe, I said, where's Glyn?
He ain't got the balls, has he?
Everyone turns around. God bless him, our club president had shot to the toilet while we were waiting for the coach. And we all jumped on the coach and left the club president at the station.
He was at the top of the stairs. Arms up, wasn't he? Just looking at him and saying, what idiot said go?
So honestly,
where's Cookie?
It's brilliant. we get the club president on the coach, and then we're on our way to Tranmere, and I ring him up. I thought, look. No, going to take it. No, Matt Ronan, no, you sit there. I'll
Jeff,
wing him.
Didn't we leave him one game at Guiseley?
No, that was Jim.
No, that's Jim.
That's when we had Jim running down the street.
It was
like,
that's a great story.
No,
well.
We've got to do that next. We'll
do another one.
So we've forgotten Glyn at the station. We've gone back. We've picked him up. We're now on our way to Tranmere. Matt, Ronan, they're looking for Sports Direct. I'm like, oh, for goodness sake. Like, I'm going to ring Tranmere. I'm going to ring their secretary. I'm just going to say, look, same again, just like Lincoln. Been on the train. Someone's nicked our footballs. Yeah. You know, what are we going to do? So I ring them up. I went, how are you? I said, you're not going to believe this. So we've had our football stolen. I mean, are we all right to borrow some of yours? I've tried to ring ahead so when we get there, it's all right. And all I heard him say was, you know one of those ones where you try and laugh and you try and hide it? So you go... like that. I could hear that, and he went, sorry, could you just repeat that? And as he said that, I heard like a button being pressed, and hand on heart, I swear, he put us on speakerphone, and I had to say, yeah, sorry, our footballs have been stolen on the train. And honestly, all I could hear was that there must have been 5-4, whoever in the office just absolutely having a laugh. But yeah, that was two scenes in a row, possibly. You might have been to scenes before, and
yeah,
you, mate,
yeah, yeah,
was,
yeah, yeah, it was.
And then
was Tranmere, we had the
absolute text
the fight, didn't we?
That was the year before, wasn't it, I think?
That was the year before, we were 2-0 down. And, We started the game, and Dave Martin hadn't started brilliantly, had he?
Gosh, yeah.
He was having a real tough time. About 15 minutes into the game,
And you know, everyone's going, blimey, Dave Martin, he's I know, but with all his experience, I can't take him off after 20 minutes. I can't take someone who's played, you know, the level he's played at 20. We just get through to half time. And I think it might have been 1-0 actually, wasn't it? something like that. And all of a sudden, at half time, before the game has got to half time, I've made my decision.
We were 2-0 down after 15 minutes.
That's it, yeah.
And I think they'd both come from Dave giving the ball away and then breaking through.
Whatever that, it was, I wasn't happy with Dave's performance, but I just gave him the respect that he deserved.
Everyone.
Yeah, that's a terminology I didn't want to
Dave
say,
was,
but you've
Dave was
said
having
it.
One, and everybody, the boys were getting on to him.
Yeah.
Because, again, we'd come from a couple of good results. Dunny was playing that game. Chores, Jack,
yeah.
George Porter,
Blair. And it was one of them where it was like, right, I'm going to take him off at half time. So, two minutes into the game, or 2 minutes before half time, I've made my decision. He's going to come off at half time. To which,
he'd already picked up a yellow card in that process.
Yeah,
as well.
You know, he'd had an argument. It was just, he was on a spiral. Yeah. And you can see someone having a bad time. It's like, right, I've got to do the right thing. So
I remember Charles shouting to the bench, Ammo, is he all right? Is he all right?
Who's he talking about, you or me?
Who's Smudge?
No, but so I made my decision. He's coming off at half time, to which when you come off at Tranmere, you go in a little doorway and then you go up the flight of stairs. As we're going up the flight of stairs, players are having a fight. It's all kicking off. And it's like, what the, you know, like, George's doing his nut, Dave Martin's doing his nut, blah, blah, blah. So it's walked in, I'm walking into chaos, utter chaos. Boys wanted to fight each other, blah, blah, blah. Picked up George by the waist, I literally threw him in the shower. You stay in there, Dave Martin, you're coming off, don't want to hear anything. Chorsey's then getting involved because being at the level he's been at, where if he wants to have a go, we'll have a go. No, he's just coming off. George is still in the shower while we're doing the team talk. Right, we've changed this. Da, da, da. This is how we're going to do it. Dave Martin's just sitting there absolutely fuming. He wants to kill someone. George wants to kill someone. Charles wants to kill whoever George wants to kill. It's not a good change room, but, you know, boy, be disciplined. Da, da. We've then taken the team out. I've then explained to Dave Martin why I've taken him off. George has gone out on the pitch. We've then come back to 2-2. Yep. We've come back to 2-2. The best comeback of what, you know, yeah. One of my time of yeah. management. Even with everything that's got with everything that's gone on, we've come back. We've nearly tried to win the game yeah. as well. By the way, Blair, I think Jack Holland scored the equaliser.
So, Brandon Hanlon scored in the 85th minute.
Yeah.
Jack Holland scored
in the 87th. Brad had the shot. We picked the ball up from the 87th yeah. minute and run back to the centre yeah. spot to put it down because we believed we could win. It was the best comeback ever. So,
but from my angle, just as the half time whistle blew, George was intensely saying to Dave Martin, it's not good enough. What you're doing, like you're killing us. As that's happened, George is walking up the steps. I've seen Dave Martin run up and sucker punch George in the back of the head. All of a sudden, it's just this posse of stewards and all the players, and
it
was kicking off. But you're in the changing room. And basically, you've opened the door to this. It was like,
you know, like in the cartoon where all you yeah. see is this cloud of smoke and an arm and then all of a sudden a head pops up. That's what I saw coming. I'm like,
coming through. And Smudge just looked at me and went, what's going on? I went, I think they've had a bust up. Next thing you know, I've just seen Smudge just throw George in the shower. Get in there by the neck, bang, throw him in the shower. Pinned Dave Martin up again. What? Like, what's going on? Anyway, whatever motivational speech you've given the Smudge, we've come out and Brandon scored. Joe Anderson's crossed the ball. I think Brandon
Blair tucked it back and then Jack scored. Jack scored it.
It was our best centre forward at the club at the time.
It was, yeah. Never replaced him.
But
it was one of them where
we could have won it.
And then we come in and I'm like, I'm ready to go at George and I'm ready to go at Dave. And Dave's gone. They've just literally,
and I remember
Dunny
celebrating up at the bench, and it was one of the greatest comebacks.
And that was when, I think if you look afterwards, that's when sort of Dave...
They went up that year, didn't they?
Went.
Did they go up?
No, so they, no, they had another visit,
yeah.
But they...
We forgot the football's the year after.
Yeah. They finished second that year, 95 points.
Didn't we, Cookie?
Before that, we'd never scored at Tranmere. No. In two other visits, we've been there. And I remember on the way back on the train...
We were on that one. This is when the club was evolving.
Yeah.
Because I won't say the story, but someone wasn't going to play on that day because they'd had an offer for another club. And turned around on the Friday and went, I can't play. And I went, what do you mean you can't play? I'm not going to play. I've been invited to another club. I'm going to sign for them. And if I play for you, I don't want to get injured.
It was one of Dunny's first games.
It was
like his second game or something.
Yeah. And I had to deal with that on the Friday to then make him play on the Saturday, and he went the following Tuesday. But I won't say because I've got too much respect for him. Yeah, that was at the time. That's when we were going through those stages.
So many good memories, though, wasn't there?
What I'll always remember of that game is the journey back. We're on the train, and there's countless people sort of coming up to us as we're getting on the train, saying, "Oh, how'd you get on today? How'd you get on? Assume you played Tranmere.
Do you want to buy any footballs?"
so good. But I'll always remember everyone saying, "Yeah, we won 2-2 because that was the feeling. It was just such a massive result for us in terms of going to a club like that and getting.
You know, Newcastle, their massive 5,000 stand, that was packed out. There was 5,000 people in there. It's incredible. And we were 2-0 down.
Yeah.
And everyone goes, the red card changed it. The red card didn't change it. We were still got that 2-2 with 11 men on Tranmere's team.
What game was it at Tranmere when we had the steward join us in the press box?
No, that was when we lost 4-0. First game, and the keeper.
The keeper handballed.
The keeper handballed about 30 yards out of his box, and the ref waved play on. You've gone mental. And then
Stewart stood in a press box with us.
No, it was the same. The story doesn't finish there. So, Teddy Dennington, for those of you that don't know him, he came through the academy. We give him the kit man job, but he's moved on. He's now Crystal Palace's under 23 in academy kit man. But he also works with the first team as well. Teddy, brilliant guy, love him to pieces. But on the way up to Tranmere, he was sitting there just saying, "Listen, I'm going to be the best kit man this club's ever had."
I'll tell you what the story. It was like, Teddy, if you're going to do this job, you've got to commit to it.
But Teddy's background academy player. His dad is...
He used to play for Bromley.
Bobby Dennington. Brilliant. So for the older supporters.
Very good player.
I'll tell you what, a brilliant supporter of myself, and I've got a lot of respect for him, because all the old boys that come back, all the old players that, you know, Jerry invites, and they have, you know, Colsey and people like that, obviously brilliant. With the Glyn-Beverley connection, always support me as a manager and the team I put out and the games we play. Brilliant. They are very supportive of Bromley Football Club. So it's an honour when they come back. Teddy is a different matter. But we love Teddy. And we went, Teddy, you're going to be the kit man. Like we've all done. It's not just kit wash. That's it. Your job's done. There's so much more to it. And you'll learn along the way. To which, to quote him, "I'll be the best kit man this club has ever had." That's all I wanted to hear.
At that level, wasn't a high standard, to be fair.
No. All he was following was yourself, myself, Cookie, Lost Balls. Obviously, Matt, Lost Balls. You know, so he didn't have a lot to go and gain on. But I'm going to be the best kit man you've ever had. To which... we've gone up, and like we're saying, it gets a bit more difficult because you have the vest and you have the pods, and we're learning to see where people, how fast they run, how far they run, where they are on the pitch, heat maps, all this scientific stuff that's going to make us a better club. To which you're part of that, you've got to look after it. Got off the coach.
That was Monday morning.
Monday morning, that's it.
Monday morning.
The boys are going, "Where's our vests?" and he can't be seen. We can't find Ted. Normally he's part of the, you know, he's in there, he's having a laugh and a joke, he's with the players, or he's with the staff, mucking around, taking the mick out of people. Can't find him, for love nor money. "Where's Ted?" Can't find Ted. "Ted, we need to find Ted, we can't find any of the vests. Where are the vests? We need to put the vests on, because we've got the pods on, because we're doing training, blah, blah, blah." Ted, I'll let you finish the story, because Hammo was the one that was who invited him onto this job.
Who can make this work?
So, Ted, wear a vest.
"I'm the best kit man this club will ever have. First job.
Ted, Where were the vests? Don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Don't know, Hemo. I think I've left them on the train. What do you mean you think?
This is on the Monday.
You either know or you think. And he went, well, I'm going to ring the train. What I'll do is, who do I get the number from? Well, I'll tell you what, go into the office, go and get the number, and then come back. So he rung the train, no joy. Come back in. Ted, where are they? I've made a mistake, haven't I, Emma? Made a mistake. Do you know how much they were? Yeah. He used a swear word. He went, I've mucked up, haven't I, Emma? Yeah, you've mucked up. You have mucked up, and you've cost me £700. Yeah, all right. Okay, I apologised about that. He went, listen, I'm just going to go over the back, let Smudge know. just whatever you do, keep out of Smudge's way.
Oh, that's brilliant. What about, what's the story I remember with Ted is, what was a game where it was midway through the second half and where we started experimenting with getting the train to games and stuff. We had a really tight turnaround after a game. And didn't you send
away to Barrow?
Didn't you send him into the dressing room? And your words, I think, were along the lines of, get it all ready.
Get it ready. No, get everything.
Get ready.
Get everything ready for us to go.
No, it wasn't. Go on.
Get ready.
Because you've got all the story.
Get ready, all the stuff from the first half, warm up, bucketing down. The game has only been called on literally last minute. And we make the journey up on the day and we go back on the day.
We have got a turnaround
of 15 minutes from the end of the game to be showered, kitted up, and on the bus to then get the train home.
We had 15 minutes before the kickoff. They had volunteers
blowing the water. I think it was Brian's, but they were using the leaf blower to get the water off the pitch because Aidy Pennant was the manager who I played with at Chills, and I went, this game is definitely on. Don't you dare call it off. We are not coming back up here on a Tuesday night. Get this game on. Got the game on. We won. Oh, no, we drew, didn't we?
No, we won 3-0.
Oh, 3-0. I went to Blair Turgot one. Right. So I went 10 minutes before the end. I went, Ted, go and get everything ready. Go and get ready. We're going. It is sheets of rain.
Which, by the way, means in the kit room, there's all the warm-up stuff from before the game. There's the shirts that they've changed over half-time. You know,
as soon as the players come in, bag the kit up. As they take it off, bag the kit up, they're in the shower, because once they're out of the shower, everything's on the coach. We just got to wait for them and get on the coach, and I've already told them we've got 15 minutes.
So basically, you're expecting to get back to the dressing room, everything's been bagged up already, there's one bag left for the kit, all the other stuff's done.
Everything's done. We are taking all the bottles of drink, everything that's on the bench at that time, we are taking as a management, with this sheets of rain coming in. I walk through the door and Ted is standing with a towel round his waist with steam coming off his body, combing his hair in the mirror. Ted, what are you doing? He went, I'm getting ready. Don't shoot, you idiot. Get the kit ready. We've got 15 minutes. He'd literally gone in 15 minutes before the end of the game. He's had a shower in the baking hot shower before the game.
He's up all the hot water.
He's got a towel around his waist. He's got talc all over him. He's combing his hair we've left 15 minutes early for him.
And he went, what are you doing? He turned around and smudged and went, how'd it end up?
By the way, I've got the water bucket. Yeah. I've got tracksuits that have been taken off under my arm. I'm soaked through. I'm not having a shower. I'm not getting changed. He is in flip-flops. Nice white Christmas towel around his waist. He's red where the steam, it was so hot in the shower. Steam coming off him. Not looking at the players, knowing the result. He's looking in at the mirror, doing his hair. What are you doing? You told me to get ready. So not you!
get the bags ready.
To which we then had a 15 minute turnaround. We
made it though.
We made it.
We all had to jump in.
We never missed it.
That's when we was doing commentary and then outside with that.
I remember that. I don't know how long a podcast could be on this platform, so we've got to finish it up at some point. I suppose that, I mean, best performances is probably something we've not covered, and we've all experienced some massive highs, and we're all very fortunate for. I think it's probably a good point to try and cover on those best performances, biggest wins, etc., that we've all experienced, and we'll leave Smudge and Ammo to kick it off, I reckon.
Yeah, look, every performance that we win is a massive performance for this club at this level, and being the manager... is, you know, I love every minute of it, and you know, but some highlights stick out. Obviously, you know, the obvious and easy ones are your Leighton Orient at home, 6-1, George Porter scoring, and it was a sellout crowd, and obviously they think they're going to go up as champions, and you don't just beat them, you humiliate them in the end, and
that's the sensational performance.
You know, it'll always live with myself as well as the manager of the club. But that one sticks really highly. Obviously, on a personal note, the Gateshead away semi-final, second leg.
Yeah.
For everything, you know, they're going up there, and if they score, it's going to be a close game. We get that early goal, however it come, you know, with Brandon running at the keeper, and you get the rebound, and all of a sudden you're 2-0 up, and then they score with 20-odd minutes to go.
Oh,
and,
what a goal.
And yeah,
so you come out nowhere,
everything
it
about
like,
the game was just tense, and you know, with everything that was going on afterwards, you know, and then you get that whistle going, and the supporters that were up there, and then the travel home was just as good as the way, even in
the dressing room. I remember in the dressing room at the end of the game, and obviously you'd had the obviously we'd sadly lost Glyn before that, and I know the program in the dressing room was obviously had the cover of Glyn on the front cover, and you had that in the dressing room. I remember following you into the dressing room with the camera, because you had to do your interviews. It's all kicking off in the dressing room, great atmosphere, everyone's celebrating, you're still doing your interview, and then finally you get the opportunity to go and join the boys, etc. And then you walk in there, I was following you with the camera, and obviously there was Glyn's programme up on there, you know, prominent, and no doubt you'd obviously...
I'd always promised Glyn that I'd take him to Wembley, and somehow we were going to do it, and, you know, and even that picture was in the changing room at Wembley. He was a great supporter of mine. He, you know, as much as how he explained that you were one of his, it was very, very in his language. But as a supporter of myself, he was amazing. And you know, somehow we had to get him. So we had his changing room, you know, we had his picture up in the changing room at Wembley as our tribute to him of getting him to Wembley.
I'm so sorry. This comes back to 10 again, because at Wembley... we had, obviously, like you say, we had Glyn Beverley up there and everything. And Katie, his daughter, who I'm sure everyone knows from behind the Ravens bar and everything.
Amazing person.
She sat next to me in the stand. And with all due respect, this was, 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the evening now, I think. We were the second game with a doubleheader trophy. And Katie, you know, she was there for a good time. And she was having an absolute great time. She was sat next to us during the second half. And she's tapped on me on the shoulder. She goes, Jeff, she's gone. Look over there. So I've looked left. I don't know what I'm looking at. She's gone. There's Bev. There's Glyn. He's looking down on us. And I'm you know, really emotional. You know, everything's going on around you, all the emotion of the day and everything like that. And for Katie, you're sitting there going, oh, there's no doubt about it. He's here. He's looking down at us. Got no doubt about it, Kate. You know, it's really one of those sort of touchy moments. Kate then screams to the dugout. She goes, Oi! Oi, Ted! Ted! Ted turns round and Kate goes, I could see my dad. Ted turns round looking for him. Oh my lord, honestly, I could never. And Ted turned around and gone, I can't see him. I was like, oh,
he ain't forgot his kit
lord.
And all, has he?
Oh my goodness.
No, so getting back, that was a massive, massive honour, and it was something I promised people that I'd get this club to Wembley, and we did, and obviously the result then goes again. But even the Notts County, you know, first year in our division, you've got the founding members of the club or of the football league playing at your place, and you beat them 2-1. I think that's another marker down for this club.
Absolutely huge.
Halifax 5-0 early on in the season. We had such a great start. I'm proud, as I say, I'm proud of every win, and I'll always hark back that when we first come here and we talk about, you know, where this club's gone, there was 300 supporters. There was 300, and to have now an average of 2,000 supporters here over the last few weeks, and it has been difficult. They've never once shown their lack of respect for the club. They've never shown anything but positive attitude, and you know, this club, we've not won in nine games. It's easy for them to have got on the back of myself, especially, not the players. I think they see the players put in everything they've got, and you know, they could come for me. They haven't. All they keep saying is, you know, keep doing what you're doing. So I could go back over the games that have been amazing and the memories and have been amazing, but Lake for me, Murray. It's the supporters. The supporters have been absolutely brilliant towards myself, and you know, as a manager, to have that support and knowing that you've got that support, it gives you, you know, belief that we can go and achieve something, and it keeps my belief going.
Smudge,
win,
lose or draw, yourself, Hamo, Dunny, everybody's in that bar at the end of the game, and you're there to speak to anybody who wants to speak.
I'll never shirk,
you know,
anybody's opinion.
100%. I think anybody. Who has had an opinion or whatever have had that opportunity to express it and share it with you, and I think if you guys have created that, you guys have made that possible by being there at the end of every game and being in that bar for people to come up to and have that conversation. And I think, you know, that's a massive credit to you guys, like you say, to be on the little bit of run, the run they've had and things like that. It's very easy to shirk away and everyone disappears, etc. But just like the fans, like you say, we've maintained our crowds all above 1,700 even during that period of defeats. Absolutely fantastic. And again, it just goes on to that, this being more than just a football club and we're all here to try and achieve the same thing and everything. You know, it's been, like you say, when the chips are down and when you're losing games, that's really when you see people for really who they are. And,
I've seen it in the players. I've seen it in the management. Like I've said, you know, when you go home and you, I'll always look at myself, what could have done better, and I'll always be learning, you know, for however long the management lasts in my life. But I've always got a phone call or speak to Hamo and what we're going to do, how we're going to better it next week. And we genuinely believe that we can produce something at this club that's never been achieved, and that's league football. And I'll be giving it and will be giving it everything we've got, you know, for whenever it lasts.
If it starts, I don't know when the next game is
exactly.
Going to be now.
If that's the last game of the season, or if we play in 3 weeks' time or 4 weeks' time, we still have that dream of getting into the to the league, and that will never go. And as I say, with the backing of the board that I've got, who are very supportive, they're very honest people as well, and I respect that. We'll give it everything we've got, and until otherwise, you know, this club gets everything that I've got to move this club further forward than it's ever been. And where this club is now, it's never been before, and we're always learning, and we'll make mistakes and we'll learn from them. As long as we don't keep making the same mistakes, we can only be better and better for it.
I've done, yeah, of course. Also, I think
bro, I'm get around it.
he's gone
he's got his fibres.
There's no doubt there's good people around this table. At the end of the day, I think we're the only people left in the building. The game was called off four hours ago. for whatever reason, we decided.
I think he's going into penalties.
We decided to record an hour and 45-minute podcast. So, Hamo, Smudge, thank you so much for giving us your time on Saturday today. You know,
keeps you away from shopping.
Genuinely, in all seriousness, for those that get to catch up with you guys after the bar, I'm sure they all know what you guys are about anyway. But I really like to think that this podcast hopefully gives a bit more of an insight into the human side of the game and you guys and the work that you guys are putting in. And I know it's greatly appreciated by all of us around this table. I think that's probably it.
Yeah, don't have a kick about the pitch now.
I think my partner's probably realised the game's off now. They're probably wondering where we are. But big thank you to everybody who's joined us. James.
Thank you.
Smudge.
Thank you very much.
Hamo.
Thank you very much.
Cookie.
Thank you.
Matt.
Pleasure.
Jackie somewhere. Big thank you for Jackie for keeping us supplied with drinks throughout
with
the
with food, yeah.
More refreshments. a big thank you to everybody who's tuned in, listened, download. I really hope we can do a similar format again. Maybe next week we'll have to do a couple of players, or I'm sure there'll be a part two to Hamo and Smudgy's story, because I know that notebook's full of other stories you've not even managed to get onto.
Just on a serious side, guys, stay safe. do what you what you've got to do. Stay, you know, washing your hands and stuff like that, because it, you know, whatever's happening out there, you know.
100%. A serious side to all of this, and I know everything that's gone on with the game. You know, we were really hoping for the National League and the FA to take a bit of a lead on it for us ahead of this, you know, ahead of today, and obviously that wasn't the case. And the game's going ahead, and obviously Chorley have had the situation they've had. So unfortunate for everyone involved, and a big obviously apologies to everybody who's been inconvenienced by today and have bought their tickets, etc. Obviously the refunds, etc. We'll confirm all that in due course ahead of Monday. And ensure them for you. And in the meantime, just keep a check out on the website for all the latest updates. At the moment, you know as much as we all do. So hopefully we'll have some more information on Monday. Brilliant. That's it, I think. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.